Well, good afternoon, everyone. There is a problem common to most relationships. I'll describe it as a lack of emotional maturity. It has little to do with chronological age. Older people can exhibit plenty of emotional behavior. As Christians and children of God, we are to learn to control our spirit and our emotions. And this involves developing patience. What do you think of when you hear the word patience? When you read about patience in Scripture, it might depend upon the translation you're using. For example, if you are using translations related to the Authorized or King James Version, patience usually comes from a Greek word pronounced, or I have no idea how it's pronounced, probably hupomone, okay? Describing a mindset that does not easily succumb under suffering. Other translations tend to use endurance, steadfastness, or perseverance. It's something you exercise in hope or in your relationship with God. And it's kind of embodied in the statement in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let's take a look at a few of the verses in which this word hupomone is used. We'll turn first to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. And in verse 3, we read, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." So here Paul is using this word to describe the persecutions and tribulations that we sometimes suffer through and need to endure. By contrast, the English Standard Version, which I will be using a lot today, translated patience as steadfastness. So in the ESV, it says, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians 3. It should be only a couple chapters over. And it says here in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4, "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." That's from the New King James. The Old King James says the patient waiting for Christ. And the ESV once again says steadfastness of Christ. So whether we're waiting for Christ or exhibiting the patience of Christ, we have a variety of translations of this word. Patience, patient waiting, or steadfastness being three of them. In Hebrews 10 and verse 36, Hebrews 10:36, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." And that's from the Old King James. The New King James says endurance, if any of you are looking at that, as does the ESV. So, once again, we have this concept of patience and endurance. Also in Hebrews, let's go to chapter 12. This is right after the faith chapter, and Paul concludes his faith chapter by saying, "Wherefore, seeing We also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And once again, the New King James says endurance. The RSV says perseverance. But still, these are things we're supposed to do, run with patience or with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us. I'd like to look at a couple in the book of James. James 1 and verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And once again, the ESV uses steadfastness. So we have here the concept, though, that by testing our faith and the overcoming and the and surviving that faith and the trials that we are being put through, it helps to build patience, the ability to wait and patiently and endure to the end. In chapter 5, we have verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Once again, that would be perseverance in New King James, steadfastness in the ESV, all synonyms for the same term. But most of the words, most of the time in the original King James, and mostly in the New King James as well, patience is the translation for hupomone. So this is one form of patience, as I said, translated endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, not easily succumbing under suffering. But there is another kind of patience that I want to focus on mostly today. It is the type of patience that we are to exercise with others, including forbearance, forgiveness, and slowness in avenging wrongs. While the first type of patience mainly dealt with circumstances, this is being patient with others. The King James versions often use the term long-suffering. While this may be a good synonym in some cases, it focuses more on the idea that the one who is slow to avenge a wrong is suffering, and that is definitely not always the case. I don't particularly like the word, but I will be using it because that's what the King James used here. The word used in Greek is makrothumia. It's a compound word. It's composed of makro, meaning long, and thumos, meaning wrath or temper. So the word literally means long temper or something akin to slow to wrath. If we turn to Colossians 1, we'll see an interesting verse here. I find it interesting because it's one of the verses that contains both of these words. Colossians 1, verse 11, says, may you be, and this is from the ESV I'm going to start with, it says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So here we see endurance, which is the first word of enduring, and patience, meaning long-suffering with others. So that's what the ESV says. If we take a look at what the Authorized Version says, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So here in the Authorized Version, they chose to use the word patience for the first word instead of endurance, and then they used long-suffering for the second. So, if we were to be creative with this, we could translate this verse as strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and patience with joyfulness. Now, that would probably be too confusing, so thankful that the translators chose not to use the same word in both places. But theoretically, it could be done. Now, God is patient. Not so much that he's willing to wait a long time, although there is some of that when dealing with mankind, but that God shows patience or long-suffering kindness to sinners. And so I'd like to take a look at several verses that deal with that. In Romans 2 and verse 4, Romans 2 and verse 4, we have this from the ESV this time. And I'll be using the ESV a lot in this section because it uses the word patience, while the King James uses long-suffering. And since my message is about patience, I thought I'd use that. Romans 2 and verse 4, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, long-suffering, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury." Now you'll notice in verse 4, he used kindness, forbearance, and patience. That is the word for long-suffering. But in verse 7, he also says, "who by patience in well-doing seek for glory." And that is the first word we were talking about. So in this section, we also have two words, even though they're not in the same verse. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, "the Lord is not slow..." I'm sorry, this is 2 Peter 3, in case none of you can find the words I'm about to read. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. You know, I'm going to back off on this. I'm going to start over on Peter. I want to read two verses that are in Peter. The first one will be in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, which is probably what I said the first time, but then I changed it because I got confused. I hope you're all having patience with me. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, it says, "because they formerly did not obey when God's patience or long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water." So here we have a description of what God was doing during the time that Noah was building the ark. He was being patient with the people on the earth, but also with the... wicked spirits, apparently, if you read the context. Now we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And in 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, "the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient or long-suffering toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So we have here several verses dealing with God's being patient. Now, Paul reflected on God's patience in his personal life, and he did so when he was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Now, here he is describing all of the things that he felt that he was, the behavior that he had exhibited, and that God had extended mercy and forgiveness to him, and that this was an example of the patience of God. And so he continues then in verse 16, says, "but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, meaning the foremost sinner in his opinion, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So he's reflecting here on the fact that God is not only displaying this patience to him as sort of a favor to him, but as an example to us of how we are supposed to behave. In 2 Timothy, go over to the next book, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, he says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience," meaning long-suffering, "my love, and my steadfastness," meaning patience. If we're going to look at the two translations, what I read was from the ESV. If it had read from the Authorized Version, it would be "my long-suffering and my love and my patience." So it gets confusing there. It's probably best to stick with one translation, but all depends upon which one you're interested in. In Colossians 3, we have another example. Colossians 3 and verse 12. It's, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other." So here Paul is elaborating on this concept of patience. He's talking about long-suffering, but then he goes on to say bearing with one another, which is an example of this long-suffering, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Then he goes on and says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So here he's elaborating, as I said, on the concept of patience and that bearing one with each other, forgiving one another, admonishing one another, all examples of how to exhibit patience with each other. In Ephesians 4, now Ephesians and Colossians are very, very similar books. And so it's not going to be surprising to find something very similar in chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, we're familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, and I would like to take a look at those, and I'd like to do it in context. We often just read right into verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit. This is Galatians 5. And instead of starting right with 22, I'm going to back up to verse 13. It's Galatians 5, 13. Once again, I'm reading from the ESV. And this is the context in which he gives us the fruits of the Spirit. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." So in this three verses, he's describing how we are supposed to behave towards each other, that we're to serve each other, to not bite and devour, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourself, as he quotes from the Old Testament. Then he says a few more words and gets down to verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, as it reads in the ESV, or long-suffering in the King James, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now in this verse, he is using the word for long-suffering. He is dealing with our relationship to others. And he concludes the chapter in verse 26 by saying, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So he is giving a warning there about how we're supposed to behave. And ignoring the chapter break, he even continues by saying, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Paul's list of the fruits of the Spirit is not exhaustive. There are many other fruits of the Spirit, such as hope, righteousness, humility, and patient endurance. But most of the fruits he lists in that list involve our interaction with others. And so when he chose, it was the long-suffering patience that he chose to put in there, because that focuses on our relationship with others. We're also familiar with the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 deals with patience in there as well. Once again, this is the long-suffering patience. The ESV says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast and is not arrogant. The New King James says love suffers long and is kind. And it goes on to say, I'm actually switching to the Authorized Version now, hope you don't get too confused by this, but it says, he says, love suffers long and is kind, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are all concepts that we have met with in discussing patience. Not being easily provoked or angered, and then bearing and enduring all things. I'd like to read a few Proverbs now, because they also deal with this concept of patience. Now, we're not dealing with Greek words in Proverbs, so I'm just going to go with what it says in English in various translations, and there's no consistency here either. The New King James of Proverbs 14, I picked translations that had patience in it, so that's why we're switching around. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. This one doesn't deal strictly with patience, but the concept being slow to wrath, and tells you that if you are slow to wrath, if you're exhibiting that patience, that you have great understanding, and that impulsiveness exalts folly. If we back up from verse 29 to verse 17, we see the flip side of the coin. In verse 17, it says, he that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So in verse 29, somebody is slow to wrath. In verse 17, somebody who is soon angry. So we have the contrast there. Let's go up to the next chapter, Proverbs 15. From the English Standard Version, Proverbs 15 reads, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. And so we have that idea of somebody who's hot-tempered versus somebody who is patient or slow to wrath and slow to anger. One stirs up dissension, the other can calm a quarrel. In Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes his city. So we have this contrast, somebody who is merely exhibiting the actions of patience. And he is considered to be even stronger in many ways than the warrior who is conquering a city. And as I referred to about emotional immaturity, it says, he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19, a couple more chapters up. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Proverbs 19, 11, this is actually from the NIV, or a version of the NIV, which says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So, as we're exhibiting long-suffering, overlooking an offense is something that is expected when it is possible to do so. And our last proverb is Proverbs 25 and verse 15, which says from the English Standard Version, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. So it is reflecting on the power of patience, of long-suffering, that even rulers might be persuaded if you exhibit that trait, and that your soft tongue could even break a bone. I'll let you contemplate what that refers to. We're going to go back to the New Testament now, or a few more verses. In 1 Thessalonians, we've spent some time in Thessalonians, and we're going back there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So we read many concepts in here about comforting and edifying each other, exhibiting peace, not rendering evil, as we exhibit patience with all. In Romans 12, Paul starts out with a very similar concept before he elaborates on this. In Romans 12, in verse 17, similar to what he said in Thessalonians, he says, chapter 12, 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And then he goes on to say, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So a few more examples of how to be patient with your fellow man. James also had quite a bit to say about it, so we're going to conclude here in the book of James. This is James 5. James 5, and we'll start with verse 7. He says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, as we're reading this, it's easy to think of this as being patient endurance, that we're supposed to wait for the coming of the Lord, that the farmer waits for the early and the latter rain, and that we are to also be patient. But that word is actually the word for long-suffering. And if you take a look at this and say, therefore be patient or long-suffering, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And to be long-suffering, establish your hearts, for the Lord coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, am I saying that that's the only meaning that he didn't mean, that we're supposed to be wait patiently? No, I don't think so. I think the example of the farmer exhibits that as a potential reading for it in terms of patience. But to confirm to support the idea that he is using a word that means long-suffering, let's take a look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. So he immediately goes into that meaning and says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience or long-suffering. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. And that's going back to the endurance word. You have heard of the perseverance or the endurance of Job, the patience of Job, and seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So James is using here both concepts, but I think it's interesting that he has thrown in this word patient at the beginning, but he used the word for long-suffering. It imparts a different, slightly different emphasis to the beginning of that section. The ability to be patient with one another is critical to our development of emotional maturity. God is not going to give eternal life to people with a short fuse. Patience, especially long-suffering patience with others, is something we should examine in ourselves. How are we doing? Long-suffering patience is one of the fruits of God's Spirit, something we need to internalize so it becomes second nature to us as our character is changed to match God's character. It helps to recognize that fundamentally we are all the same, with the same pulls and problems, and as God is patient with us, so we need to be patient with one another.